Welcome to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. It's a joy to have you with us today. Pastor Ed leads Fellowship Church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. In our ongoing series, Relationship Goals, Pastors Ed and Lisa Young jump into the influence of relationships on shaping our future. Today, they address the challenge of commitment phobia in our culture and offer insights on cultivating dedication and devotion to our spouses. This program is just a glimpse of what Pastor Ed has to offer. From global missions to his latest inspirational books and daily devotionals, there's something for everyone. You can find all of this and more at edyoung.com. And here's an exclusive offer for our listeners today. Download a free chapter of Pastor Ed and Lisa's newest book, A Path Through Pain, at edyoung.com. With refreshing vulnerability and power, A Path Through Pain shares their family's journey from sorrow and anger to hope and healing after the tragic and sudden loss of their daughter. As they share their incredible perspective, they will inspire and equip you to believe that there is purpose in your pain, even if you can't see that purpose yet. Now, let's get into today's message called More Than a Commitment. Welcome to The Creative Connection with Pastors Ed and Lisa Young.
We're just a little bit excited today because we're talking about marriage, and that's always a fun thing. And I'm very excited because joining us today via Skype are Sam and Laurie Kelly.
Hello.
That's crazy seeing Laurie, your name now, Kelly.
They were going to join us live here, but due to Snowmageddon, they were snowed in and stuck in Norfolk. So we're glad that they are joining us via Skype.
Yeah, Laurie, tell us a little bit about how you and Sam met, because people, I'm sure, are wondering how in the world did these folks meet, and a little bit about that.
So I was in ninth grade, actually, and we met in Sydney, Australia at a church conference. And we just met there, and I just met him like in a hotel lobby, like getting ready to leave. And so I met him, and I was like, oh, he's like cool. And then we just kept in touch through like social media and at conferences. And then eventually he asked me to prom. So, and that's where our little dating relationship started.
And Sam, like, when you asked Laurie to prom, because that's kind of like you're in Virginia, she's in Texas, your dad's a pastor there, you know, your mom and dad. And tell us what that was like when you asked her to go to prom.
Yeah, well, I was a little bit nervous. So I actually let my brother Josh take the wheel, and he texted her something along the lines of, hey, do you want the opportunity of a lifetime? And then at the end of the text was something like, it's okay if you say no, because there's a line of girls waiting outside of my door.
And I said yes.
And so she obviously said yes. And then,
that's right. And then Laura, you and I made the journey to Virginia Beach.
Yes, with my mom.
Yes, it was Mother's Day weekend, so I actually had the opportunity to speak there. And then following the services, we went to lunch. And all of a sudden, we're sitting at lunch, and Sam is missing. We don't know where Sam is. And Sam, where were you? We thought you were charging your phone.
Yes, I was actually calling my pastor to see if I could ask Laurie to become my girlfriend.
Your pastor, meaning that pastor.
Pastor Ed,
yeah,
yes.
Ed, okay.
Thank you for calling me your pastor.
So
that's nice.
He excused himself from the table to ask Ed's permission to ask Laurie if she would be his girlfriend.
Yes.
And that was a very exciting time. Lots of fun.
I've had the opportunity to officiate hundreds and hundreds of weddings. And I hate to confess this, Lisa, but I didn't realize the depth of a Christian ceremony until I really began to look at it and study it. We've been in this series, you know, called Relationship Goals. And we've said once someone is born, they step on this relationship. This ship is not an easy ship. It's a great ship. And we've been saying around here, we're either floating, we're either sinking, or we're either cruising. And our great God wants every relationship to cruise. And today, we're talking about the only relationship that is analogous to God's relationship with his people, which is marriage. Marriage is not a contract. Say that with me. Marriage is not a contract. Marriage is a covenant. Say it with me. Marriage is a what?
Covenant.
A what?
covenant.
A covenant. What's a covenant? A covenant is a situation where two parties get together before God. It's a supernatural thing. You look at a contract, you find lawyers. Look at a covenant, you find the Lord. It's a blood bond for life and death. It is all about God. And when we see that, we're like, you got to be kidding me. And let me tell you a quick story so you'll see sort of where we're going today. If you go back in the Bible, the first book of the Bible, this is the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 12, 13, 14, and 15 talks about God's covenant with Abraham. At the time, he was named Abram. Here's what God did. This is kind of gross, but it makes sense. He took animals, cut them in two, arranged the animals opposite one another, the parts of the animals. God walked through the middle of the parts of the animals. That was considered holy ground, initiated this covenant with Abram. In other words, God was saying, I'm all in. I mean, I am totally committed. I'm in covenant with you. I'm all in. Then we have other illustrations of covenant in the Old Testament. Lisa, for example, they would take animals, split them in two, arrange the halves opposite one another. They would walk through the middle, meet in the middle, cut the palms, shake one another's hands, exchange rings, and they would make this pronouncement, exchange robes. They would take on the name of one another. That's why after God's covenant with Abram, his name was changed to Abraham. He took part of the name of God. So Lisa, what I want us to do is, I want us to take, and Sam and Lori, I want us to take this Christian wedding, the Christ-centered wedding ceremony, and let's look at the symbolism of it. I've talked about the substance. It is what? Not a contract, but a
covenant.
Let's talk about now the symbol.
The symbolism. So let's start with just the wedding aisle. The wedding aisle, you know, that well, it depends on where you're getting married, but it could be a long distance. It could be a shorter distance. The wedding aisle where the bride is escorted by her father down the aisle. Ed escorted Laurie, and he cried the entire way there. In fact, when they got ready to start down the aisle, Laurie looked at him and said, Dad, you have got to get it together. You can't be crying like this all the way down the aisle. And it wasn't a sad crying.
I'm very sentimental.
But that aisle represents, and don't freak out here when I say this, but that aisle represents the walk of death.
Whoa, this number going, that's right. You got that right. No. It's a positive thing. When you walk the aisle, Lisa, go back again to the covenant, two halves of an animal. You walk through that. You're saying, I die to all of the other relationships in my life. My main relationship, the central relationship, is God. Second is my spouse. Yep. All the others are whoosh, back burner.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that they're gone. It just means that they don't take the priority of the spouse. It also means that you're dying to self in your individuation. In other words, you're no longer just you. You're now united as one because you're walking down the aisle, the walk of death, to die to yourself, to join in life with the other person.
And then you got the groom. The groom comes in first. Now, why? Why?
Well, because the groom is the one that initiates, and that's spoken in Scripture.
I mean, the book of Ephesians, I mean, again, this is just Bible here. Ephesians chapter 5, it says, verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Let me stop here. The Bible uses twice as many words to implore husbands to love their wives as wives to love their husbands. I wonder why. Because I've got a hard head. I wonder why. Because you got a bucket head too, man. We need this stuff. The groom initiates it. Who's the groom? Jesus. Who's the bride? The church. Jesus initiates it, Lisa. And the groom initiates the question. He pops the question. The groom should initiate, for the most part, creativity in the relationship, a date night, mate night, every married couple. You see, marriage is what you do and don't do before and after you say, I do.
Wow.
Let's talk about saying yes to the dress. Yes to the dress, the wedding dress, because wedding dresses are important. And, you know, I'm all about, and we're all about, you know, looking cool and doing the best you can with what you have, with what you've been given. The wedding dress, though, is not just a dress.
It represents purity and righteousness. Revelation 19, 7 and 8 says, let us be glad and rejoice and honor him, for the time has come for the wedding banquet of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She is permitted to wear the cleanest and whitest and finest of linens. And what this represents is that because of Jesus and our relationship with him, we are now pure. We are now clean. We are now presentable. And so it's a very symbolic thing.
Yeah, so we're clothed, Lisa, in the righteousness of Christ.
Yes.
So when God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Jesus. If it was based on my righteousness or your righteousness, we bust hell wide open.
But we have his purity. What about the exchanging of the rings? The exchanging of the rings is all about the fact that no longer do we have our own stuff. We now have joint stuff.
You're listening to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. We're halfway through today's incredible message, and we hope it's been an inspirational part of your day. As we pause for a moment, we want to thank you for joining us and for your continued support. This ministry, focused on sharing the gospel, is possible because of listeners like you. As a token of our gratitude for supporting the Creative Connection, we have a special gift for you. We'd love to send you a complimentary copy of Pastor Ed and Lisa Young's newest book, A Path Through Pain. This is a powerful book they wrote after the sudden death of their oldest daughter, Lee Beth. They share profound truth that even in the darkest moments, pain and joy can coexist. To receive your free copy, visit edyoung.com. It's our way of saying thanks for your gift to help take the hope of Jesus to people around the world. And if today's message has touched your heart, consider supporting us. Your contributions, no matter the size, help us continue spreading God's word and bring hope to many. Visit edyoung.com to learn how you can make a difference. Now, let's continue with today's message. You're listening to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young.
We're one spiritually, we're one physically, and sometimes people forget this, we're one financially. All this crap about, well, I got my money, and she has, or he has his money. Are you kidding me? I mean, I understand if you want to separate a little bit, but it's one. And if you have a problem already with separating your money, you're gonna have a shipwreck. Because in relationships, ship happens. And if you don't have those five sails, if you don't understand the depth of marriage, it's not gonna happen. For example, Jesus is all in with the covenant. Go back to Genesis, God all in. When I am not the man I should be, I don't have to worry about Lisa. She's all in. When she's not the woman that she should be, she didn't have to worry about me. I'm all in. So it's not 50%, 50%. No, 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 no. 100% commitment from both. And that is covenant.
That's covenant. So as it goes with finances, why would we be willing to give our heart to someone we're not willing to trust our finances with? Amen to that one. Okay. What about the veil?
The veil. Well, when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, the veil of the temple was ripped, giving total access to God through Christ, a backstage pass, total access. When the veil is lifted in a wedding, that symbolizes husband and wife have total access
That's
to one
good.
Another.
And then you have the unity candle. How many people who are married had a unity candle in their wedding?
You remember those unity candles?
A unity candle where you had two separate candles and then there's one in the middle, and that symbolizes the fact that you're no longer individuals, but now you're one in marriage. And
I did this wedding. I called it the bodybuilder wedding. One day I'm going to write a book on all the crazy weddings I've done. It's nutty. Well, these bodybuilders, these people were giants, all jacked up on every kind of steroid known to man. They were competitive. And the women in there, I mean, it was crazy. The unity candle. This was a really cool unity candle. It was a brand new unity candle. We'd never used it before in the church. So you had the two flames, and, you know, there were fake candles. And then you had the candle in the middle that was not lit. So you're supposed to take each candle, light them, one flesh, one flame. Well, the bodybuilders walk up, and it was stuck. I don't know what happened. So the guy goes, excuse me. He took the candles. They were lit. I was like, oh my gosh. He bent those things and lit the candle. Well, why did I tell you that? It takes work, it takes strength, and crash through quitting points. You're not gonna feel it all the time, honey.
That's right.
You won't feel it all the time. And I always tell people all the time, if you're waiting to feel it, you won't do a thing with your life. If you're waiting to feel it to pray, feel it to forgive, feel it to have a date night, feel it to... It's not going to happen. You commit, and then the feelings will follow.
That's good. And you know, when you speak about unity, from this point on, you have to think about the fact that whatever you do affects the other person. If you treat your spouse poorly, if you say ugly words to your spouse, if you throw in, you know, name calling and all of that type of stuff, you're really doing that to yourself as much as you're doing it to them. It goes back to the covenant when you say, okay, if I break this covenant, let the same happen to me as I've done to these animals. Well, you're in unity. Whenever you harm your spouse, you're harming yourself. And so it's a good lesson on the value of unity, fighting fairly and all of that
stuff. So to run through these again, we have the pronouncement, you know, of the new names and Abram, as I said, Abraham, that new name. My real name is Ed Young Christian. Yours is Lisa Young Christian. Becoming a Christian is not something that is just private. It quickly goes public. You get married publicly. Just like when you become a follower of Christ, you publicly are baptized. That is the wedding ring of the Christian life. The reception,
yes.
The partay. You know, the Bible commands us to partay. It doesn't say, you know, we should get drunk and freak out and do drugs and all that. But it says we should have a good time. God invented partying. The world's just taken partying and they polluted it. But we should party. We should have a good time. And we had a great party at the wedding.
It was fun.
And I even made a couple of burnt offerings. We had some cigars there. The Bible says to make a burnt offering before the Lord.
That was fun, yes. We had a great time. And maybe it's a challenge to all of us that, you know, right after that wedding ceremony, we have a party, but we need to keep the celebration going for years and years and years and rejoice about what God can and will do in our marriages. And then,
how about cutting the cake? Because it's like, okay, well, what's so big about that? We cut the covenant. The word covenant, baris, in the Hebrew, baris, say whether it, baris. Yeah, it means to cut. We cut, remember the animals, we cut the cake. Then I feed Lisa, she feeds me, the totality of us. But I want to tell you the most embarrassing, this happened to us in our wedding. This is one of the most embarrassing things ever.
Well, I hope it's not the most embarrassing thing ever.
Well, it's pretty embarrassing.
You know, on wedding cakes, you have flowers. A lot of people put flowers on wedding cakes now. But back in the day, you'd put a bride and groom on top of the wedding cake. And for some reason, we had some friends, they were friends of my parents, that they decoupaged eggs. And so for a wedding gift to Ed and I, they decoupaged an egg. And it has little hinges, and it's bedazzled. That's it. And, you know, my sister had a cake, had an egg, too. And Ed and I were just a year or two ago, we were talking about it. And he goes, Lisa, I mean, it's been 32 years at that point. He goes, Lisa, why did we have an egg on top of our cake? Yeah. I mean, these things that just haunt us years after years after years. And then it's, he goes, what were you thinking? We went from we to you really quickly.
Guilty.
And I said, honey, they were friends of mom and dad's. And Laurie had one too, my sister. And so I called her. I said, Laurie, can you believe we put eggs on top of our cake? She goes, Lisa, I didn't put the egg on top of my cake. I couldn't believe it. They yeah. had theirs on a side table. No, we put our smack dab on top of that wedding cake. Very bold. But
and we can tell the story now because Helon and Geo are with the Lord.
They have. They also passed on. They also made
They're making heavenly eggs now up there, probably. With Simon Peter and James and John.
They also did
Abraham.
For throwing the rice. We had these long stems, and we made them all ourselves. I mean, there's no such thing as a
yes.
Pinterest board back then, and they were these long stems with a satin flower at the end, and you'd wrap tape or, you know, floral tape around it, and then you'd put rice in it, and as the bride and groom were exiting, you would sling it like a slingshot or something like that, and the rice would fly it out, you know, it could be dangerous, but I don't have one of those, but that was classy.
I researched that. Back in the day, Lisa, they would throw seed on a bride and groom. Seed, fertility. I'm not putting any pressure on grandchildren, but fertility. Then also that the wedding and the marriage would be a fertile entity that people would see and go, wow, they're blessed by God.
But also, it would demonstrate the fruitfulness of God, the fact that God has a great design, the depth of marriage, and that your marriage and our marriage could be something that would be a blessing for others to see. That when they look at the lives of those who are married, who are honoring God with their marriages, that they would see reflected the nature and the character of God. Do you see the depth?
Isn't this brilliant?
The symbolism,
brilliant.
True substance of what a marriage is all
about.
Yeah,
we don't realize the depth of it. So if you're here, I'll say it once again, and you're a child, you're a student, a single adult, 90-something percent of you will get married. You need to understand this stuff, own this stuff, take this responsibility. You're accountable now that you know the information and make sure you're doing the right activity to reflect this. Some here are going through divorce. Divorce is so, so difficult. I don't think there's a family here that's not been touched by divorce. God wants to meet you where you are. He wants to forgive you, to cleanse you. Now you have this new information. You're going to go into the next marriage. Oh, whoa, I've got the 411 before I have to call 911 now. You see, others here need to say, okay, I want to say I do to Jesus. That's how you become a Christian. That's what's so crazy, Sam. When you and Larry got married, you said, I do. Boom. All right. When you say, I do, you don't realize, and you're not going to realize the implications of that decision until you're married longer and longer. I'm still realizing the implications of the decision. And that's great. It's not bad. It's awesome. You say, I do to Jesus. So what has Jesus done? It's a love relationship. He wants us to have this relationship with him. He's done the work. We're the church. He's the groom. We either say, I do, or we leave him at the altar. It's my prayer that you will say, I do to Jesus. Allow him to clothe you with his righteousness, his love, so you can discover the marriage and what families and what your future and what this relationship is all about.
Thank you for being with us today on The Creative Connection with Pastors Ed and Lisa Young. We hope this message has equipped you with great biblical tools to empower you in your marriage. Your support is so important in helping us share the gospel of Jesus with a hurting world. As a token of our gratitude, we're offering you a free copy of A Path Through Pain by Pastor Ed and Lisa Young. Visit edyoung.com to claim your book and learn more about how you can support Ed Young Ministries. Join us next time as Pastors Ed and Lisa continue their series, Relationship Goals, and they answer some crazy questions we all think, but have never asked. Stay connected with us at edyoung.com for more great content and ways for you to be a part of what God is doing through the Creative Connection. Thanks for listening. Until next time, God bless.